today on Real Radio.
But as we pause to this particular Wednesday, as we've gathered together, we look at the events of this day in history. But the first thing that we want to just define right now is we've mentioned this Passion Week and what it means. It causes us to look at the week, Passion Week, and the things that he was going to minister and experience in a collective sense. Jesus, his earthly ministry was coming to a conclusion this week. Everything that he had been speaking about and teaching on had focused to this week in history.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On this week's editions of Real Radio, our teacher presents a topical series. This being what is known as Passion Week, affords us the opportunity to get you to face the historicity and reality of the most influential figure that ever lived, Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Why Jesus?
Why is it called Passion Week? We understand that as Jesus entered in Jerusalem last Sunday, he went in and out of Jerusalem, visiting Jerusalem, making profound declarations this week in history. And they were all, as it were, orchestrated. They were specific. They were no doubt well planned by the Holy Spirit himself, fulfilling Bible prophecy this week in history. Why Jesus? Why consider Jesus this week? And as we look to Passion Week, and as we look to this particular evening, we are going to focus on this Wednesday night in history. Because that week, as we look at it, called Passion Week, is a week well recorded. But the passion means his suffering. The things that were prescribed by God the Father for Jesus this week. There were things that were going on that were very specific and that we do well to know them. Not to glaze or fly over them, but to know them. Mark 14, follow along with me. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take Jesus by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And being in Bethany and at the house of Simon the leper. I love this part. As he sat at table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head, poured it all over Jesus' head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was not this fragrant oil wasted? Why is it wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. And given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Verse 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Verse 9. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Wow. This week we're looking at this series, as I mentioned a moment ago, of these teachings, Why Jesus? And tonight, I hope, will kind of provoke your heart to consider some things. But as we pause to this particular Wednesday, as we've gathered together, we look at the events of this day in history. But the first thing that we want to just define right now is we've mentioned this Passion Week and what it means. It causes us to look at the week, Passion Week, and the things that he was going to minister and experience in a collective sense. Jesus, his earthly ministry was coming to a conclusion this week. Everything that he had been speaking about and teaching on had focused to this week in history, this Passion Week. He would be revealing things previously not said. He had also, though, said things that as we go to Jerusalem, he would say things like, the Son of God is going to be betrayed. They had been hearing that. The disciples had been hearing that for quite some time now. He had mentioned to them that there would be those who would seize him and beat him. The prophecies of Isaiah would be coming to pass this week in history. The Passion Week. It's not only that he would suffer this week that makes it his Passion Week, but it's also the fact that, and this is hard for us to grapple with, that Jesus longed for this week in history. You say, Jack, you got to be kidding me. Did he not know everything that was coming his way? Not only did he know what was coming, the Bible says that Jesus from the beginning knew who it would be who would betray him and those who would not believe in him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew the one who was going to betray me, and if I knew the one or the ones that would not believe, I don't think I would show up for this gig. But Jesus did it anyway. Why? When we talk about the passion, we see the torturing and the suffering and the blood, and we would think, how could Jesus want to embrace this week, and how is it that he longed to come to this point in time? Because of you. Because of me. Why would he go through this? What sane person would subject themselves to this brutality? No sane person would do that. But when God would come from heaven to earth and take upon himself the form of a human being, Jesus, it is God that is going to be showing us this. It's not some man who has a good intention to offer himself up as a sacrifice and thus be his passion. This is the God-man. This is Jesus Christ, the God-man. You see, what do you mean the God-man? Do you guys remember way back there was this guy, Rajneesh? Remember Rajneesh, anybody? The nut that was up in Oregon many years ago? He declared that he was the God-man, that he had come from heaven, and that he is the God-man. He's 100% man and 100% God. You see, where did he get that idea from? Well, he personally got it from a demon, no doubt. But where did the demon get it from? Well, Jesus is the God-man. Theologically, and it's hard for us to grapple with this, but you must get this because it brings us to the Passion Week. Jesus was 100% man when he was born into this world. He wasn't a superman. He was man. But at the same time, he was God. The incarnation. When we talk about him coming to the Passion of this week, only God could embrace this week as Jesus did, because Jesus was God, man, here among us. He dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, said the Bible. The Bible says to us that the Word was God and the Word was with God. And what does it announce to us? And that Word, verse 14, became flesh and tabernacled, lived among us. So we're not talking about a very, very disciplined, strong man with a purpose to go through this Passion Week and then to die on the cross. We are talking about a man, yes, 100%, but still 100% God. And you would say, well, why doesn't he do something about this? And why doesn't he change these things? Because Jesus willfully humbled himself in obedience to the decree of his Father. At any time, he could have taken up arms, as it were, and thrown off all of these things that were going, seemingly to us, against him. But those things that look like were going against him are the things that he embraced for you and I. They were the things that you and I could have never done, as the prophets foretold over 750 years before Jesus was born, that when he would come, he would be silent like a little lamb going to the shearers, and those that would sacrifice him, he would not open his mouth. That is, he would not defend himself. Jesus did that. He did not defend himself. He did not open his mouth. When they nailed him to the cross, all of that was prophetically accurate as he laid himself down. Jesus Christ. And of course you know, and no man could do this, as he was crucified there on the cross, what did the God-man, Jesus Christ, announce? He said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." While being crucified, while being spit upon. Oh, it was terrible. In your mind's eye, and I'm getting a little bit away from where I want to go tonight, but you need to see this in your head. The crosses that have been unearthed in Israel. Don't you think, based upon our Western view, our Sunday school view, don't you see Jesus very, very high up on a cross, crucified, and the people are looking like the movies show us, they're looking? Isn't that how we see it? The crosses that they have found, though, in archaeological digs, are not tall crosses. In fact, it was very common for those who were crucified for wild dogs to come and eat their feet in the night. Say, so how could they do that? Do they have very tall dogs in Israel to do that? No. When someone was crucified, Rome wanted it in your face so that it would put the fear in you to never disobey Rome. And they would have conversations while someone was crucified. Jesus did that. He told John, right, to behold Mary, and Mary to behold John. And those crosses, as I said, they're very short. And as Jesus was crucified there, it was very, very clear to the onlookers of his passion and of his words. And when he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." I argue with you tonight, only God could do such a thing. I know what I would say if they crucified me. And you don't want to write, you wouldn't want to hear it. So as we look to this, consider these few things regarding his passion and this week in history. And this is just introduction. In Luke 9:51, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when at that time he had come for him to be received up," that is for him to be returning back to heaven, "that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." That is, in Galilee, he is now heading to Jerusalem because time was coming for him to be offered up. And what does it say? That he tiptoed around that mission? No. His passion was to get to Jerusalem. Why? Because you were the treasure of his sacrifice. Matthew 17:22. "Now while they were staying there in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up.'" Jesus told them that Passion Week was coming. And then John 18:37, there at the second half of that verse, Jesus said, "For this cause was I born, and for this cause have I come into the world." And the context of that was him being offered up as Savior to the world and of the world. And five times in the gospel, it's announced and mentioned that Jesus' passion was coming, or that it was his time, or that it was his hour. In John 8:20, it says, "No one laid their hands on Jesus, for his hour," that is his passion, "had not yet come." You hear that in the Bible. You read that. They went to seize him at one point and make him king, but his hour had not yet come. What did that mean? His time for his passion had not yet arrived. So church, why Jesus this week in history? Why his passion? Number one, because Jesus willingly presented himself up for us. He willingly did that. And I want you to mark that down. He presented himself to the world. Verses 1 and 2. "After 2 days was the Passover, and the feast of unleavened bread there was at hand. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him by trickery, deception, and put him to death. They're plotting to kill Jesus. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Just mark this down. Jesus Christ willingly presented himself up. My friend, the Bible makes it very clear, and what we celebrate this week is the Passion of Christ, and in such a way that he presented himself to the world. Jesus, listen, Jesus' offering and his presentation in front of hostile people. The religious hierarchy wanted him dead because, frankly, he had stolen their business. People were following Christ. He was fulfilling the Word of God. They were jealous and envious and upset. But note this, Jesus Christ presented himself, and he did it in such a way that it was before or unto the entire world. He didn't tiptoe away from anything. My friends, Christians, this evening and this week as we live it, this is our high holy week. This is a time we should be more bold than ever before. We should be walking around saying, isn't it great, it's resurrection week? I know some of us say Easter. We've been conditioned to say Easter. That's a pagan term. But if you, and go ahead and use it if you want to, but if you want to really stir it up this week here in town, go around and tell people, isn't this an awesome week? This is resurrection week. And make some assumptions. And I mean this in a sarcastic way. Make some assumptions. Ask people, where are you going to go to church this week? Are you going to go to church this week, this resurrection week? Start asking them. Do that. If we ever had a time to be bold about this issue, and even by you inviting somebody or asking them, hey, you going to go celebrate the resurrection of Christ this weekend? Where are you going to go to church? Just the statement gets people thinking. Resurrection, what? Who? You guys, we live in a culture, there's people that haven't even heard the name of Jesus. Tell them. You've got the week to share with them. But he presented himself to the world. I love that. In John 18:20, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, and he said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always met, and in secret I have said nothing. Don't you love that? I love that. It's not some little cult. Okay, let's get some people together, and okay, I'll tell you this, and then you go out there and you go door to door and you do whatever you do. Carry a briefcase, use a bicycle, I don't care what you do. Just go and do that thing, and here's what you do, and go do this, and make sure nobody knows about this, and don't tell them about that thing. If somebody brings this issue up about our cult past, just change the topic and go after the next thing. No! Jesus says, everything I've taught it publicly. Synagogues, the temple, Bible studies, on the road, people gathered around the steps of the temple. I've announced it all. I've said nothing secret. Don't you love that? I love that. For you, my friend, for me, tonight, we celebrate this week. And on this Wednesday, by the way, this portion of scripture that we read here, this is what happened on a Wednesday in history. If you have a good study Bible, you can look at that, by the way, and they'll have the week laid out. What happened on Monday? What happened on Tuesday? What happened on Wednesday? What happened tomorrow? On Thursday? It's all laid out there. But I love the fact that for you and I, my friend, Jesus Christ went public with the message. The gospel cannot be hidden. My goodness, how amazing is that and how powerful is that? Secondly, he presented himself to the worshiper. Well, it makes you want to be a leper. It says here that being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, Jesus had healed this guy. As he sat at the table, you don't sit at a table with a leper unless he's healed. Jesus had touched this man. Question, has Jesus touched you in your life? Just hold that thought. And also, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Spikenard. First of all, the alabaster flask was anywhere from 6 to 18 inches tall, depending on how wealthy you were, to be honest. This is her dowry, and it's big bucks. She's got this for her future. This is her future. And the glass, the flask, is kind of bulbous or teardropped on the bottom. It goes real narrow, and it's got a little bit of a flute at the top, but the neck of it is opaque. It's not transparent, but it's opaque. You could see images through it at the neck. You could hold, light would pass through it. It's very fragile, very, very precious. Inside is the spikenard. Very expensive oil. And some scholars have estimated to the value of what that is. And some have said it's a year's worth of value, a year's worth of work, probably more than that. This is what she would present someday in that culture that would make her chances of getting married better. This is her dowry. Look, marry me. I have this. She takes her future and she comes before the Lord and she breaks the neck of that thing. Once it's broken, your spikenard, you're not putting it back in there. She pours it out upon him. Why? Why a leper? Why this woman? Well, the truth of the matter is, he presented himself and he always presents himself to the worshiper. If you, in this man's case, cleansed of leprosy, you're never healed of leprosy. Did you know that? The Bible never shows you of being healed of leprosy. See, why not? Because leprosy is a picture or a form of sin in the Bible. You're never healed of sin. You and I, when we came to Christ, we were not healed of sin. We were what? Cleansed, washed of sin. He, the leper, was washed by Jesus. Cleansed. Do you think he was grateful? Do you think he was happy about that? Wherever he went, he had to announce in advance, because you know they had their hands would be nibbled off. Did you know that's horrible? You lose circulation and feeling in your extremities, toes, hands, nose, ears were the first things that would go, and they would turn white, like snow white. And you'd wrap yourself up, and you're coming along, and by law you had to say, unclean, leper, unclean. And people would part. I mean, the street would just move, and it was all yours. You never... Can you imagine being in your car in the 91 freeway? Leper! Everybody moves over, and you just drive on through. You would announce, leper, unclean, and people would part because you were contaminated. You were viewed as a sinner, and nobody wants to get near you. You're a marked man. You're terrible. We've got to stay away from you. And when that life had been changed, I can't prove it, but I bet you this guy, now that his skin is like a baby skin, that he just made it a point to just get around people. He probably just rubbed on people to be near them again. How long had he lived without being touched? We don't know. He was not allowed to be touched. But we know this, he's a worshiper now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation simply called Why Jesus, subtitled In Pursuit of the One True God. It's a study series we're presenting this week for the purpose of getting us to face the choice of whether we are for or against history's most influential figure. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are offering Why Jesus on either a DVD or CD. Perhaps you've been touched by this message. Perhaps you know someone else who needs to hear it. Remember, there is a heightened awareness of this historic figure, Jesus of Nazareth, this week, so it's the perfect gift for that someone who you think needs to learn more. So for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you the series, Why Jesus. You can ask for either the DVD or audio CD series. Here's how to get in touch. You can give us a call here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, declare to you that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.